Another fact that doesn't seem to be related on the face of it is that the United States consumes more coffee than any other country in the world, at 45 million pounds a year. Those two factors came together for a Christian businessman from Wheaton, Illinois, who liked to roast coffee, and so he found a way to a creative way to do something he loves and to minister to former inmates in his community. Pete Leonard was a businessman involved with a local software company, and he started roasting coffee in his garage just as a hobby. And then he had a relative who was looking for a job after serving time in prison. He said he'd always get interviews, but the instant he had to check the box that I'm a convicted felon, that was the end of the story. Typical of a much larger problem in our society, ex-convicts can't find work, and so they go from prison to unemployment, and oftentimes in desperation from there back into crime. And so Leonard and two of his friends at a coffee shop one morning sketched out a business plan on a napkin for a coffee business that would hire ex-offenders. And said, the thing is, if you're going to do this coffee business, you have to be committed to providing excellent coffee. If the coffee's bad, then people aren't going to come back. And so they called their new company the Second Chance Coffee Company. And it markets under the brand name, I Have a Bean. So Leonard and his wife Debbie invested thousands of dollars to launch this business, and eventually Leonard left his job just to work in this business. And today, Second Chance makes quality coffee and hires mostly ex-convicts. And so for someone coming out of prison who has children or a spouse, this gives them the opportunity to be a provider again, and to pull their family out of poverty. Now, Debbie Leonard, for her, and for Pete as well, it's also meant realizing that, as she said, your security is in God, it's not in your bank account. And so, Kohelet said, cast your bread. These guys have cast their beans upon the water, and God has blessed them with it. So for things that we don't know the outcome, God asks us to take chances. We have to think about that. We have to calculate what that means. But the kingdom of heaven is fundamentally entrepreneurial. Jesus taught that over and over again. The master who left and left talents, chunks of money with his servants. To one he gave 10, one he gave 5, and one he gave 1. And he came back, and the one who had the least just buried it in the ground. And he said, you wicked person, you didn't take any chances at all. So he took his and he gave it to the one who had more and who had made more. And so, for the things that we don't know in this life and in this world and in the kingdom of heaven, we have to take chances. We have to act on incomplete knowledge. Now, there are some things that we do know. And for those things, we put a laser focus on those and we go hard after them. And we'll talk about that later. But Kohelet has told us to take the long view of life. Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. You accept the good and you accept the bad, because life is full of that. That is the world we live in. This is a good creation that has been infected, if you will, by sin. He says, don't get too attached to your possessions. Nellie passed away a couple of hours after church last Sunday, and it's been kind of a long go with that. But as I was thinking about that this week, I remembered that her husband, Anna's father, passed away about 6 days before we moved here. And so Nellie had a house in California, and we had to take a lot of her possessions and sell them and give them away because she came out here and moved to Creamery Brook, a little retirement apartment. Her mind was beginning to go, and so we needed a place where we could help her out a little more readily. And then a year ago or so, she had gotten to the point where she really couldn't live by herself anymore, and so she moved into our house. And once again, we had to give away and sell many of her possessions. And now she has passed out of this life. And once again, we are taking her possessions to give away and to dispose of. And let me tell you, because of the fact that she was in our house, living right next to us and in with us, it's a very stark reminder of what this life is about when you take someone's possessions and you give them away or give them to the family or whoever wants them. So don't hang on too tight. Someone has said we ought to travel lightly through this life, and we of all people ought to do that. Kohelet says, don't game the system. He says, whoever watches the wind won't plant. Whoever looks up at the clouds will not reap. Don't get paralyzed by fear, or you won't do anything. Keep working and keep your eyes open. Verse 6, sow your seed in the morning, and in the evening do not let your hands be idle. You don't know which thing will succeed, so have a go at whatever will work. So let's talk today, just for a while, if we may, about things in this life that we don't know. And there are a bunch of those. Now, we are a people who is deeply addicted to information. We want to know. We want to lessen our risk. But we really don't know what's going to happen in the future. We just don't know. You don't know if your job's going to last. You don't know if your investments are going to pan out. You don't know what your kids are going to decide as they get older. Oh my, they just decide anything they want. I mean, kids get to be 30 years old and they don't listen to a word you say. We just don't know. We don't know whether our family will be safe. We have no way of knowing that. I mean, we have computers and televisions in our houses. And through those devices pour in all the wickedness of the world. You don't know when or if one of your family members will have their soul grabbed by some wicked thing that comes through those things. I was just reminded yesterday of that hours before the execution of serial killer Ted Bundy, he did an interview with James Dobson. And he spoke very coherently about the fact that he was raised in a Christian family and his parents were very good and attentive people. And he said pornography found a place in his soul and it grew until he was a murdering monster. They guess that he killed as many as 50 women. And he said, I want to promise you that every guy that's in this prison that I know of, every single one who has had any kind of violent or sexual crime that he's done, every last one of them is addicted to pornography. So we don't know what's happening in everybody's life, in our household even. We have private lives from one another. We don't know what the value of our ministry is. We were talking this morning in Sunday school class about the people that have influenced you in your life. You know who's influenced you, but you know less about who you have influenced. Who will say on that day, such and such a person really help me think about this, or really move me from this place to that. We don't really know that, but we continue on. Those are just things we don't know. Paul said, I don't really know how God will judge me. He says, my conscience is clear, but he says, that really doesn't mean anything. He said, I will stand before God and he will be my judge. Jesus said that for those of you who do ministry for the sake of your own ego and your own glory, you have all the reward that you wanted and all the reward you're going to get. So somewhere in the middle of all that is the value of what we have done in this life as followers of Jesus, as ministers of his. And finally, this thought, we really don't know about the soul of the person we're talking to. We say to one another, I'm a believer. And we believe that. We accept that from one another. Jesus said, if someone acts like an unbeliever, treat them like an unbeliever. We really don't know. And so when people behave poorly, we have to make decisions about, are they really one of us or no? So that's a hard thing that we have to decide about in this life, and we just don't know. Is the person I am talking to receiving the message? This person claims to be an unbeliever, so I believe that. But are they hearing the word of God? Is it affecting them? I don't know. Sometimes the people who push back the hardest, the most obnoxious people, and we think, oh, well, that enough of that, in fact, are listening the closest, and they're being affected the most deeply, and that's why they respond so strongly. We just don't know. And so we have to live in this life without knowing those things. But what do? Since I don't know, I have to cast my bread on the waters. I should just share with everybody I can, because I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know whether these seeds are gonna come to life, to fruition, but is that my job to make them come to fruition? Nope. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of God himself. That's what he does. I don't know. How shall I cast my bread? I'm going to share Jesus with everyone, even the ones that reject me, because I just don't know where they are. What do we do as a church? We set our church on a vitality pathway to be a more missional church. There's no guarantees. But if God wills, and we are praying people, and we are willing and desirous of serving him, then perhaps we will become a more missional church. We will be more engaged with our community. We will begin to see people as God sees them. Oh, I wish I could do that. I'm way I'm looking on the horizon. Well, you're not measuring up to my standards. Is that the standards that people have to meet? No. They have to meet the standard that God sets. God says, do you love Jesus or don't you? Are you willing to follow him? Oh, but I don't. Yeah, anybody can say that. They got to meet. I push the bar up. No. Not at all. That's not what God is looking for. We want to see people as God sees them. He loves them. And we need to love them in that way as well. And that, you know, that's a terrifying idea to some people. What I'm not a missionary, I'm not an evangelist. That's why we talk about our world, my world and your world. You've got people in your world that you know that nobody else really knows in that way. No other believer knows. You're elbow to elbow with them, and God has put them in contact with you for a reason. And if you're also elbow to elbow with them, just like if it happens to be that one of your fellow believers is in their world as well, God's making appointments. He's lining things up. So be willing to bless other people because you don't know how it will turn out. Share with everyone you can. Live life big. Live it to all its fullness and breadth. That's what he's saying here. Take a chance. Give portions to seven, yes to eight. You don't know what disaster may come upon the land. Go for it. I'm impressed. I'm so encouraged by all the people I know that they're in this room right now. Let me just name some people. The Colazars, the Gallants, the Nasons, the O'Neills. These people have done missions work, and several of them, the Colazars, the Gallants, and the Nasons, for many years at a time in places that are hard to live. India, Indonesia, South Africa. And you know what? They didn't do that to be commercially viable in the marketplace. You don't make a lot of money doing that. But they did it for the sake of the kingdom. They cast their bread upon the waters. And now they're back with us, and they're blessing us with all the things they've learned. Live life big. You don't know how it's going to go, but take in all the breadth and all the fullness. Embrace the next generation's enthusiasm and engagement with God. Each generation meets God in a different way. They've got different music. They've got different thoughts about how you read this Bible. They've got thoughts about how you interact with other people, how that interacts with your job and your everything else. Missions now is largely going to other places and doing micro business financing, setting up micro businesses like Bob was telling us about earlier. That's a whole new idea. It's teaching English. It's whatever you can do to be a witness in the place you are. It's taking a chance. Embrace the next generation's enthusiasm and their engagement with God so that you'll still be in the conversation when you're finishing your race. Do that. Go for it. And that means you got to try new things. That's really hard in New England. It is. New England lives on the strength of tradition, and that is a good thing, you know. And I come back to this topic of fish tacos, which I've had a really hard, I didn't mean to sell fish tacos, but I've met a number of people now who just haven't actually tried them, but they're sure it's awful. So the kingdom of heaven is about saying, well, never did this before, I'll at least try it once. I will cast my bread upon those waters. Don't be afraid to try something new for the sake of the kingdom. God is doing all kinds of things that you haven't heard of yet. He's working through people that you don't know. He's very busy. We, as human creatures, we just think of ourselves as the center of the universe. We're not. God is working in Asia, he's working in Africa, he's working in South America, and he's doing all kinds of big, big things. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to try something new all the way through your life. Make that a life habit. And for some of us, we're at a place in life where that's getting harder and harder. Oh, that's silly, I'm not doing that. It's easy to say that. But sometimes you need to grab a hold of something and say, well, never did this before, but I'm doing it now because this is what the Lord is doing today. All the way through your life, be a note taker, be a learner for the rest of your days. Read books. You know, there's this sort of philosophy that, well, if I don't know it already, I probably don't need to, you know, I don't want to see it, I don't want to hear about it. God is always bringing something new to us. And so be a part of that. And the reasoning is this. If you have things of eternal value in your life, you can't lose those things. Everything else, and I'm a recent witness to it, I promise you that you lose everything else. It's all gone. Yep. And so don't be afraid. You can't lose anything that's important. And that's what, when you're with Christ, you can't lose that. So I'm not saying that you just go out and quit your day job. But I would say keep celebrating life. Keep celebrating the life that God gives you. Go out. See what's out there. And he says then, don't be paralyzed. Don't be paralyzed by a number of things here. Don't be paralyzed by inevitability. Look at verse 3 again. The clouds are full of water. They pour rain on the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Now, actually, R.C. Sproul, you know who he is, right? I think a number of you follow him and read his books. His conversion story is this. He said he went to a church-related college, but he wasn't a believer. He went on a football scholarship, and he didn't have really any interest in the church. And he says, at the end of my first week, which was freshman orientation, my roommate and I decided to hit some of the bars across the border. Apparently it was on the southern border. When we got to the parking lot, and I realized that I was out of cigarettes. R.C. Sproul had this problem. And so he says, I went back to the dorm to the cigarette machine. They don't even have those in dorms, I don't think, anymore. He says, I got my luckies and turned around and saw the captain of the football team sitting at a table. And he spoke to me and my roommate and invited us to come over and chat. And we did. And he said, this was the first person I'd ever met in my life who talked about Jesus Christ as a reality. I mean, he actually believed this stuff. He says, I'd never heard anything like it. He says, I was just absorbed. I sat there for 2 or 3 hours. He didn't give like the traditional evangelism talk to me. He says he just kept talking to me about the wisdom of the Word of God. And he quoted Ecclesiastes 11:3. Whether a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Sproul says, I feel certain that I'm the only person in church history that was ever converted by that verse. He said, but God just took that verse and he struck my soul with it. He says, I saw myself as a log that was rotting in the woods and I was going nowhere. And God pressed that home. He says, when I left that guy's table, I went up to my room, and in my room by myself in the dark, I got on my knees and cried out to God to forgive me. So, don't be paralyzed by inevitability. If you think you're a dead person, if you're a dead log laying in the forest, you might be right about that. But that may not, that doesn't have to be the end of the story. God brings life through Jesus Christ, and you can have that life. Kohelet continues, don't be paralyzed by speculation. Verse 4. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. It's about excuses. Well, it doesn't work out quite right. If I wait a little longer, maybe this, maybe that. No. Just go with what you know and do it. Cast your bread on the waters. Finally, don't be paralyzed by ignorance. Verse 5. You do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Just because you don't know something, don't let it stop you. We've all got questions we'd like an answer to someday. We may not get them till that day that we see him. And that has to be okay. He won't say, he will not excuse you on that day. If you say, but I didn't know how this was going to work or that was going to work. I had no idea this was going on. He will say, you knew enough. You knew enough. Don't be paralyzed by what you don't know. Turn to God in repentance. Live in the life that he gives in Christ. So, let's talk about the things I do know. First thing I know is that I'm a sinner. And the Bible makes that very clear. And if you live long enough, it'll become clear to you just from experience. And so there are things that can do me harm. There are things in this life that I know enough about that I'm not going to cast my bread upon the waters. I'm not going to cast my bread upon the waters of trying different religions. I'm not going to, you know, try a little Buddhism, a little Islam, a little this, a little that. Nope. Because I know who the Creator is. I know who my Savior is. So I'm going to go straight toward that. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that there are things that will do harm to me. I know that I was not designed to be in multiple marital relationships. So that's why I've had one wife in my life. Now, that doesn't mean we all make mistakes and we go from the place we made the mistake. And there is life from that place, even if we've made a mistake. But we were not made for that. We were not made to be into pornography. The more I read, it's just very alarming, this topic. I mean, I know you, most of you, and I would never say, oh, you have a problem, I bet. I don't even think that way. But the statistics are that in a group this size, there's a fair percentage of people who are deeply addicted to pornography. And that is, you're not designed for that. We are not designed for that. And so you need to get help. You need to get the Lord into that part of your life. There are people and programs that will help you. We are sinners. We know that. I know that. What else do I know? I know that God loves me. And that helps with the being a sinner part. I know that He cares about me. I know that I am made in His image. He is very interested in me. He's very interested in you. But I'm a sinner. Yes, I know. And that's why those two things have to come together. They come together this way. God brought those two things together. Our sin and His love. Jesus Christ came. He died for our sins and He rose that we could have life. That we could have real life. Life that is eternal. Life that lasts. Life that doesn't get buried with our body. And so Paul tells us in this Philippians passage here that he traded in all of his self-made success, and he had a bunch of it. He says, all that stuff I was, all that great stuff I did, all my credentials, it was street filth. He uses a vulgar term, actually, in the New Testament text. That's how lowly he thought of it. And he had a lot going for him. He says, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. That's an amazing thing. So he traded in his self-made success for God-made success. And that is what we are to do. Sam Rotman shared with us last Saturday, I think it was, or Friday or Saturday, a week ago. And that was exactly his message. He had a lot going for him. Student at Juilliard, concert pianist. He had everything going. And he says, you know what? It doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't mean a thing. And now it is just a venue for me to share the gospel of Jesus. It gets me into places where nobody else can go so that I can share. And that's the one stipulation when he does a concert, is that he gets to share his testimony. And so around the world he goes doing that. Trade in your self-made success for God-made success. And that's a process. It's a one-time thing when we meet Jesus, but it's also something that He works out in our life as we go on with Him. What is all the stuff that makes you you? That you just are happy to have people know about you? Your neener, neener, neenerisms. Aren't I something? When those become garbage, or just finally become a venue so that you can share the gospel, then you have traded your self-made success for your God-made success. So in the economy of God's kingdom, it works this way. For the things you don't know the answer to, Kohelet says, and Jesus backs this up. Do all you can. Invest. Take a chance. Cast your bread on the waters. But for the things you know, you make a beeline. You run as fast as you can the race running toward the Lord Jesus. Our two modes of living in the economy of the kingdom of God that he has given us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, what a glory it is to know you. We got to know you because you came to us and you became enfleshed. You became one of us. You played on our team. And there wasn't any other way it was going to work. And so we thank you so much for that. Lord, I pray for anyone here today who doesn't know you, who has never said yes. I ask for them today. If you today, you don't know Jesus, you need to know him. And if you want to know him, you can know him right now. Just say yes to him. We're going to sing a song here in just a second about knowing Jesus. And this is your opportunity. Pray to the Lord. Say to him, Lord, I need you. I am ready to follow you. I'm ready to trade in my self-made success for the success that you are giving me. Father, hear the prayers now of those who will reach out to you this day. And we will thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.